Hi, we're the Siglers. I'm Roland, and this is Christy. She's my little prairie muffin. She's hotter than donut grease, and she's sweeter than a Krispy Kreme. My bride of 33 years, 32 of those years have been really, really good. And the other year, we'll talk about later. Now, enough about us. Let's just talk about me. All right? I was born at a very, very young age in Roswell, New Mexico in 1958. About the same times as the aliens were seen, which could explain the way I am now. My mom and dad were good, loving, hardworking church people. We never failed to miss Sunday Mass or a holy day of obligation for as long as I could ever remember. In the early years, my mom stayed at home. My dad was active military. Flying bombers has gone quite a bit. So I was raised for the first 6 or 7 years of my life by my mom and 4 sisters. Needless to say, I had a very heavy dose of estrogen around me all the time. I grew up ADD. That's right. We got pages stuck together. ADD, ADHD, dyslexic. That's hard to word, you know, when you're reading it that way. Dyslexic, destructive, dishonest, disrespectful, demanding, rebellious, resentful, and very, very angry. This sinful nature would start to reveal itself later on in my marriage, and this reminds me of a country song, "I Was the Only Hell My Mama Ever Raised." This is where Titus 3:3-5 comes to mind. It says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy. I had no real heroes at the time, and I felt like I was on my own. I knew my parents loved me, but with the work and family and being the middle child of 6, I felt like I was left out, so the only way to get attention was bad attention, and it was better than no attention at all. I did very poorly in school, and I was told by several adults that I was stupid, lazy, and no good, and would never amount to anything. These words highly discouraged me in my youth. I barely made it out of high school and went straight to work because money was my God."
I was raised in a loving and stable family and grew up in Dallas. I always knew that I was loved by my mom and dad and supported in every way possible. I'm the oldest of 3 siblings, and in every way, I'm the typical oldest child, very type A, in other words, controlling and always striving to be a perfectionist, which probably has something to do with my pride issues. Growing up, we were not consistent church attenders. I always knew there was a God and that Jesus died for our sins, but in no way did I understand the gospel. My biggest regret and sadness is that I wasn't saved until much later in my adult stage of life. There were so many decisions that I wouldn't have made for myself if only I'd had Jesus in my life.
Shortly before I turned 19, I got a 16-year-old girl pregnant and was married by the Justice of the Peace. Within a couple of months, we miscarried and we had the marriage annulled. Before my annulment, still being married, on several occasions I committed adultery due to my sinful nature, not knowing at the time, but as early as I could ever remember, I had always found my affirmation from women and sex. As soon as the annulment was final, I left Wichita Falls and headed to the big city of Dallas, where I continued for the next 7 years living in total debauchery. I had a great job, made tons of money, living the good life, and then within a short period of time, I lost everything. My apartment was burglarized, my girlfriend left me, my truck had been vandalized and rendered useless. I had lost my job and was living on the dining room floor of my neighbor's apartment in total despair. As I laid on the floor, all the seeds had been planted about God and Christ by my mom, which she continually watered throughout the years and replanted and rewatered over and over, finally took root. I looked up to God for the first time in my life and said, "God, kill me or save me." That night changed my life ultimately and Christy's life forever, and we hadn't even met yet. This was my Psalm 116:6 moment. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Within 24 hours, everything started to turn around. Ever so slowly, but ever so completely, God put His hands on my shoulder and started pulling me towards him.
I dated my high school boyfriend for 3 years. During high school, we were having sex, and luckily, by the grace of God, I never got pregnant. We married right out of high school at 18 years old. This was the poorest decision I ever made in my life. Neither one of us were Christians. After 12 years, we divorced. After my divorce, I started making more decisions and choices that would have a negative impact on me. I know now that it was by the grace of God that I am who I am today. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect." Even though I was not obedient to God, he continued to love me and watch over me and protect me. He never left me. In both Joshua 1:5 and Hebrews 13:5, we are told, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." After my divorce, I immediately jumped into a relationship, and we moved in together even before my divorce was final. So I was actually living in adultery also. That relationship turned abusive and resulted in me going to the emergency room. Luckily, he was transferred out of state with his job. I stayed behind and prayed that he would get help so we could get back together. But God had different plans for me. Maybe you've heard the country song that says, "Thank God for unanswered prayers." Well, I'm so very thankful God didn't answer that prayer. Let's see, where am I? Well, I'm so very thankful he didn't answer that prayer. If he had, I wouldn't be married to Roland today. During that time, I also put my trust in people I shouldn't have. I guess you could say I was naive, but again, I was just making very poor choices. On a trip to New Orleans with a friend, I drank too much and put myself in harm's way. A man who I had just met offered to walk me back to my hotel since I was in no condition to walk by myself. When I got to my room, he forced his way in and threatened to rape and kill me. He took my clothes off and tied me up, put a belt around my neck, and held a knife to my throat. This went on for about 2 hours. Thankfully, he didn't rape me. The odd thing is that during that time, I felt a complete peace wash over me. At the time, I didn't know it, but God was right there in the room, taking care of me like he always had. As it says in Hebrews 13:6, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" It was then that I knew God had other plans for my life.
God's pulling that I spoke about before, it was friends inviting me to a Sunday school class where I hung out with Christian guys, was having fun without getting drunk and trying to pick up women. It was truly a happy time. For the first time I can remember, I had peace. For the next several years, God worked on me inside my own hula hoop, which you'll learn about later, within my own hula hoop of life, to become the kind of man that would attract a woman like Christy. Then, for the first time in my life, I'd become friends with a girl I'd met outside of a bar. She became my best friend, and I realized that I was in love with her and wanted to marry my Christian soulmate. We were married just a few months later. And so now I'm married, and again, being the middle child, I needed everything to be about me. Sin began to creep in again due to my pride and selfishness. Soon after our kids were born, I didn't get the attention I had before, and my resentfulness and pridefulness led me to be disrespectful to Christy because she was spending so much time focused on my kids. My sin nature and sexual addiction led me to many unmet expectations, leading to dysfunction in our family. And as I matured in Christ, I came to understand the destructive nature of my actions and how it was hurting my family. I made the decision to take a lower paying job that didn't require as much travel. I never missed a sporting event with either one of my kids from grade school through high school, and I was rewarded with a great relationship with our kids with no regrets. During that time, God found mysterious ways to provide extra money for us, letting Christy and I work together out of the house, tithe, pay all of our bills, and even save a little. And since we tithed first, paid bills second, and saved third, we never experienced financial problems.
After the incident in New Orleans, things started looking up in my life. I was invited to a single Sunday school class where I was introduced to Roland. This was God's plan for me. We became fast friends and spent a lot of time together with a big group from the church. After about 6 months, we realized that we both wanted our relationship to be more than just friends. Roland modeled for me what a Christian life should look like. I knew that I was not living a life with Jesus, but I wanted that more than I'd ever wanted anything in my life. It was then that I got on my knees on a Sunday night in my bedroom and asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and I was saved. My life was forever changed. I was a sinner, but regardless, God still loved me and died for me. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Roland proposed in September 1985, and we were married the next April. Since I was a little older when we married, we wanted to have children quickly. Just 11 months after our wedding, we were blessed with our first child, Brooke, and 2 years later with Jake. Both have been the most amazing gifts God could have given us. They are now married to the spouses God intended for them, and we have been given the gift of a beautiful new grandson. We attended, that's a picture of Roland in high school. That's our grandson. Okay. We attended the Catholic Church for the first 11 years of our marriage. Although we were actively involved in the church, there was no true Christian community. We were hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. We knew something was missing and longed for something more. Through amazing friends, we were led to a Bible church. This was the time in our lives when we discovered what Christian community was and what an important part of our lives it is. This stage of life was crazy busy with kids and jobs, and this is when we experienced the most stress in our marriage. We had our ups and downs, mostly ups, but some huge blowouts over trivial things we can't even remember. This is when sin started creeping into our lives again. I was an escalator and a negative interpreter, and I was resentful that Roland worked, and I felt like I did everything else. I became disrespectful to Roland, and I used physical intimacy as a manipulative tool to get what I wanted. The more I would yell and slam cabinets and doors, the further away Roland would retreat to avoid my rage because he's an avoider. The more he retreated, the more aggressive I became. This is when I would discover what true grace really is, undeserved love. Roland loved me even in the times when I was not at all lovable. When we married, we made a commitment that divorce would never be an option. We would either live together happily or live together miserably. So in the end, we both always chose happy. Neither of us ever leaving home or discussing divorce. This was also a time when I struggled with pride and resentment. I had to learn to give it all up to God and relinquish control to him.
I realized at the time I had an attitude problem and I could no longer blame my mom and dad or anybody else. I now know that they did the best they could with what they knew and had at the time. There was a man named James Dobson, wrote a book, Focus on the Family, that was my roadmap for marriage and being a dad. It helped teach me as a young man how to be loving but firm with my children and live with my wife. Christy and I had, for all worldly purposes, a great marriage. Then came reengage. We soon realized we were missing a huge part of a godly marriage. My pride, resentment, avoidance of conflict, lack of working towards a resolution, lack of grace and humility slapped me in the face. I was not loving her as Christ loved the church, and I needed to change. And I needed to change now. I realized I had a dude problem that I projected onto Christy and our kids and could no longer blame anyone but myself. I had to work on my own circle. Through strong biblical counsel and reengage, my Ephesians 3:20 moment came to life. Now to him who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine through his power that is at work within me. God loved Christy, God loved our marriage, and I needed to act it and live it now. Reengage gave me the tools, actions, grace, and humility to be transformed so I could love her as she deserved, being a child of our Almighty God. Now I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams with an incredible wife, kids, grandson, and a church here at Watermark that continues to transform Christy and I to be more each day Christ followers and fully devoted followers of Christ.
Finding our way to Watermark has been life-changing. I have been and continuing every day to be transformed. I've learned from our time in Reengage to draw a circle, you all know about that or you will know about it, around myself and pray about transforming myself, loving myself less, and loving Roland more. Because of Reengage, our marriage is continuing to be renewed and we are living out our love story each and every day.
Reengage has taught us in so many areas where we can change for the positive, starting with changing negative communication patterns, handling conflict biblically, understanding unmet expectations, extending forgiveness, and the power of praying together every night, just to name a few. We are so very blessed and thank God every day for the grace He has given us. As it says in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to the Lord God our Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue to be amazed at God as God works in our lives, and we can't wait to see where He leads us in the future. Thank you guys for listening tonight.